Okay, Colossians 3, beginning in verse 12. Dale did a wonderful job last week reminding us of the old man, and that the old man with all of the bad stuff has died, and we put off all of the old bad things and we put on things of the new man. And those characteristics should be obvious in our lives. A quote from John MacArthur: a righteous identity must issue in righteous behavior. Such behavior is the outward manifestation of the inward transformation, and it is the only sure proof that such transformation has taken place. If somebody has said that they are saved, that they are a child of God, but you see nothing in their lives that would illustrate that, God's the judge of that. But a righteous identity must issue in righteous behavior. So, verse 12. Now, I'm using the New International Version that I've had since college, and this is the one with all my notes in it. So, and it's hard for me to start over again in a new one. So some of the words are going to be different. Some of the phrasing will be a little bit different. But it starts with therefore. Do your translations have therefore? Okay. Therefore, because the old man has died, because you have put off all of the old things, because you have put on the new man, because of that, then he lists three characteristics of who he's writing this to. Now, keep in mind also, he's writing this to the Colossians, but it is also, God is writing this to us, that we can take this and apply this to us. So, therefore, because the old is dead, the new has come, as God's chosen people, that's the first characteristic of us. We are God's chosen people. God chose us. Okay? The Bible says that. Ephesians 1:4. He's chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. And then you have John 3:16. For whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So which is it? Do we choose God or does He choose us? It's kind of like Travis's question this morning. The answer is yes. Okay? And if you want any further explanation, see God. Okay? But He says both. So I'm going with that. Therefore, as God's chosen people, then He says, holy. If we're God's chosen people, we are holy. That word means set apart. Okay? It's different. Different from the world. We have, I've told you this before. We have some glasses at our house that are holy glasses. When we got married 37 years ago and 10 months and, I don't remember. But 37 years ago when we got married, somebody paid $13.50 a glass for us to have these fancy glasses. And we still have all but one of them. But those glasses we don't use every day. Those glasses are holy. They are set apart for a separate function. They're not just normal glasses. Normal glasses, we've gone through several sets of normal glasses that we get at Walmart or wherever that you buy, you know, six glasses for, I don't even know how much six glasses cost, but less than one of the other ones, yeah. But those glasses are holy. They're set apart. They have a separate purpose. We, as God's chosen people, are holy, are set apart, are different from the world. If we look the same as everybody else does, something's wrong. We should be different, set apart. Then he says, God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Henry Blackaby has talked about so much that God showed his love with Jesus on the cross. How much more can you show love than that kind of an act? So we are God's chosen people. We are set apart. We're different. We are dearly loved by God. So he says, clothe yourselves with these things. I have heard a time or two, and I'm not going to call any names, but I have heard someone say, I don't know what to wear. God tells us what to wear. He said, here it is. Here's what to put on. And that's what to do. This, put this on. Clothe yourselves. Put these on. Put these qualities on as we do clothes. And as we do clothes, it takes first a choice. I have to decide what to wear. And then it takes an action. I have to put it on. So clothe yourselves. Put it. Decide what you're going to do. Decide what you're going to put on. And then put it on. Wear it. Be that way. So put on, clothe yourselves with these things. First, with compassion. The HCSB says heartfelt compassion. And I like that. Jesus showed compassion perfectly. The same word is used in Matthew 9:36. When he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dejected like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus had compassion on people. We're to be that way. We're to have that kind of heartfelt compassion for people. So clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, not harsh or hard to bear, but concerned about the good of others. The illustration for kindness is the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan showed kindness to somebody. Somebody that was hurt. Somebody that he didn't know. Somebody that would probably be offended if they knew that this was a Samaritan tending to him. But he showed kindness. We're to show that kind of kindness. So clothe yourselves with heartfelt compassion, with kindness, with humility. And that sounds like such a wonderful characteristic in the middle of, or in the at the very end of an election season. People that are running for office, I don't know that I've ever seen anybody that I would say have a humble attitude. It's always, well, I've done this, and I've done this, and I will do this, and I will, instead of humility. 1 Peter 5:5 says to clothe yourselves with humility, that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So we're to be humble. We're to put others before ourselves, not focus so much on ourselves. And then we put on gentleness. Now, gentleness does not mean weakness, but it means willing to suffer injury instead of inflicting it. Galatians 5:22 that lists the fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness is one of those. So we need to be gentle in what we do. Clothe yourselves with patience. Patience is the opposite of resentment or revenge. 2 Peter 3:15, God is patient, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God shows us patience. We need to be like Him. We need to take those characteristics that we have seen in Jesus while He was on earth and imitate those. That's what a disciple is. A disciple, we are all, I hope, disciples of Christ. We are followers of Him. We want to be like Him and do what He said. So, put on patience. And then he says in verse 13, bear with each other. Just put up with each other. There's some things about Travis that aggravate me. It takes him no time to fix his hair in the mornings. That is aggravating to me. He can put together all these sermons and do all this stuff, and I'm not good at that. But he does that well. That's good. There's some things you just have to put up with and do that.
He's an Oklahoma fan.
And you have to put up with things like that. So just put up. And there's stuff we can look around this room. But don't say it out loud. But you can look around this room and think, yeah, there's some things with Taylor that I just had to put up with. That I mean, he could kill himself and me climbing up that. But we went, I have to tell you this, my brother came up, was it last summer? Not this past summer, it was the summer before that. My brother came up and we went up to the top of Old Snowy. And we climbed up there and we climbed back down, and my brother said, you know, we could have died on that. And I said, yeah, we could have. And he said, how many times have you been up there? And I think three other times that Todd made me go with stuff like that. But there's some things with Todd you just have to put up with. And he's going to go across and he's going to do that. And then he's going to stop and get out his camera and watch and take a picture as soon as you fall. So we just have to put up with some things, with things like that. And then look at what he says. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. When somebody does something wrong with you, forgive them. Okay. And then forgive as the Lord forgave you. How many of us deserve for God to forgive us? That's what I thought. No hands. Nobody deserves that. When somebody does something to us that offends us, that causes us grief, God said to forgive them. In the same way that God forgave us. Not because we deserved it. Because that person that said that about me do not deserve to be forgiven. But God said forgive as He forgave us. Not deserving of that. So, we're to put on that forgiveness. We're to forgive others. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Okay, over all these virtues, if we have put on these like we put on clothes, then over all these, put on love. Because this garment of love is going to match everything. But without this garment of love, over the top of all these things, nothing's going to work. There have been several times that I usually, because I get up early on Sunday mornings, and I usually lay out my clothes on Saturday night. And there have been more than one times, more than 20 times, that Renee has said, no, that does not go together. That you need to get a different shirt. No, you need to get a different tie. No, that jacket does not match those pants. No, that does not. But this matches everything and it completes everything. And God said, here's what to put on. This, 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 this. And then overall, the jacket that you're going to wear on top of all this that's going to complement all of this, don't leave without that jacket. Because if we do, if we try to do all these other things in our own strength, we become like 1 Corinthians 13 talks about, as a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And that has no, a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal has no good qualities about that in itself, by itself. So, above all these things, put on love. Verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. So, the peace of Christ, we have peace with God. We were enemies with God. But when we've accepted God's forgiveness, we have His peace. So, let His peace rule in us. The Seahawks football game last week. The referees, the officials, made some rulings. One of which, just obviously a stupid ruling. It was just a very, very poor ruling as an official. That part we probably should take out of that recording, Glenn. But they showed the replay. The guy caught the ball. His foot was about this far on the white out of bounds line, and then he twisted around, and it was a neat pirouette that he did, and then he went on and made a touchdown, and it was a good thing. But they showed that, and the announcers were saying, oh, his foot's on the white line. And then the play was under further review, and they came back and they said, it was good. He didn't step out of bounds. That's a touchdown. And it was a poor call, but the referees were the ruling authority. They were the ones that made the call, and it was what they said that mattered, not what millions of people saw with their own eyes on the TV screen and knew that that was dumb. But they were the rulers. They were the ones that had the authority to say, no, that was... Well, God said, let the peace of Christ rule us, control us. Let Him be the authority that says, this is the way you're supposed to be. But I feel like I should be this way. No, God's the ruler. He's the one that said, be this way. But I don't feel like that. I feel like it's this way. No, God's the ruler. God's the one that said. Well, today I'm identifying as a female. Today I'm identifying as... No, God said, this is the way it is. And He's the boss. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. We are all members of one body. Paul has used that illustration a lot. That we are members of the body of Christ. We all have a part. And as you know, those parts can help one another, can encourage one another, can be good for one another. When I know when one foot is hurt, your other foot can do some extra things to help that to get along. But in the same way, Georgine, my dad's wife, has store-bought knees that she got. Well, before she got her first knee, she was limping so bad, and the doctor said, that's messing up your hip.
And if you don't hurry and get that replaced, you're going to have a hip replaced at the same time as that knee, because it's messed things up and done things. So when things are not right, they can mess up the whole body, the whole way that everything was designed to work. So be members of one body and help and support and do your part. And then in the NIV, at least, right after that, because as one body you were called to peace. And then a short sentence, three words, and be thankful. Now, was that just a, oh yeah, by the way, be thankful while you're doing all that. That was an important truth that my mom taught us. I have told you before, one Christmas, we were at Mama and Papa's house, and I got a pair of socks. And a pair of socks is great. That's a great thing. But when you're 7 years old and you get a pair of socks, I wanted a jet airplane. I wanted one of those toy cars. I didn't want a pair of socks. But my mom said, "Now you go over and tell Uncle Ed thank you for those socks." Which I did. Not because I had a thankful heart, but because my mom said to go and tell Uncle Ed thank you for those socks. But Paul said, be thankful. That's important. Paul uses that word thankful or thankfulness a lot. I didn't count them in the book of Colossians, but he uses that a lot in here. So that's important. And that just, whether the Holy Spirit brought that to mind or if that was part of something else, because there's not a period there at the end of a sentence, I don't know. But that was important. And be thankful. Be thankful while you're doing that. Then verse 16, that we said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let that saturate you. Seems like I've heard a sermon, something along those lines recently. Let that saturate you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you, live in you, be a part of you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Now, important things. Teaching and admonishing. Teaching one another is the positive part of it. Admonishing one another is the negative part of it. Teaching one another is saying, here's the positive thing. Here's what you need to know. This is the correct thing to do. This is the good thing to do. This is what you should do. This is how you should set up your tent. This is how you should do whatever you're going to do. This is how to do it. The admonishing part is the negative part, to warn people of the consequences of their behavior, or to caution or advise or counsel against something, to reprove or scold, to urge to a duty. Have thine own way, Lord, is urging to a duty. He is the potter, we're the clay. Let him do his work and not us. We're being admonished. Be careful. Don't try to do something that the potter doesn't want done. But let the potter do his work the way that it should be. Teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom. Wisdom is the part that says, don't do all positive. Because there's times when we're teaching our kids, when we're teaching others, there's times that, yes, there's positive things, but people need to know, if you don't do this, this could happen. I am a disciple of Todd's when it comes to backpacking. I am a follower of his in in just about every way that you can say a follower of. He is usually way up in front of me, and I follow where he says and do that. But there's things that he said, you should set up your tent this way. But there's a place in the Indian Corral that we set up our tents. And then after we got them set up, Todd said, you know, that's a big old dead tree right there. And if it comes a hard windstorm, that could fall right over on your tent. That's an admonishment. That's a saying, look out, because this could happen. So do it the right way. Take care of how you're doing that. So teaching and admonishing one another, not all just the happy things, but the watch out for those things too. As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that we've already talked about with gratitude in your hearts to God, some things with singing to God. You've heard at least one person say, as we sing, we have an audience of one. Incorrect. Because we're told to sing to one another. Yes, we're told to sing to God. But we're also told to sing to one another. It seems like I've heard recently in a sermon too about the one another's that work in there. We're told to sing to one another. Encourage one another as we sing about God and His attributes, as we sing the Psalms, as we sing what God has done in my life, how He has blessed me in my life. That's an encouragement to others. So sing to others and help them. Warren Wiersbe, a quote from his book called Real Worship, has this. I'm convinced that congregations learn more theology, good and bad, from the songs they sing than from the sermons they hear. Sorry, Warren Wiersbe wrote this, okay? So, all of you preachers in the room, many sermons are doctrinally sound and contain a fair amount of biblical information, but they lack that necessary emotional content that gets hold of the listener's heart. Music, however, reaches the mind and the heart at the same time. It has power to touch and move the emotions, and for that reason can become a wonderful tool in the hands of the Spirit or a terrible weapon in the hands of the adversary. There are songs that have been sung that are not good songs, that are not good songs for a congregation to sing. If you want to sing that in your private time and sing that directly to God, just you, that may work. But there are things that are not good for congregation to sing. We were at a meeting a few weeks ago, and one of the songs that was sung, I, Me, and Mine, were used many, 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 many times in there. And not a good song to sing. Not a good theologically correct song. We can learn bad theology from things. I have a friend that talks about the Jesus is my boyfriend songs. When you can sing those songs and sung to God, but may not ever mention His name. And they could be, I could sing that same song to Renee just as a love song. And it would be fine. But is everybody going to know that that's not just a love song between me and Renee? But that's a song to God. And the songs that we sing, at least as a congregation, should be songs that everybody knows they're talking about God. Amen. They're singing to God. They're singing about God. They're doing that kind of a thing. And there shouldn't be any question about that. So there's good and there's bad theology that Warren Wiersbe said. And it can be a wonderful tool in the hands of the Spirit or a terrible weapon in the hands of the adversary. That they can be taken that are just wrong. I'm very thankful in our hymnal. There is a group of theologians that have gone through every song that is in here and have said, yes, that's correct. And they have been approved by that group. There's a lot of other songs, and there's some songs that they have taken out that used to be in other hymnals that they've taken out and said, you know, that's just not right. So we need to be careful what we're singing as a congregation. And I want you to know that I take that responsibility very seriously. With what we sing is important, that the message is right and that it's true, that what's there. So singing with gratitude in your hearts to God. Verse 17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, if one of the things that that we have done in the name of Richland Baptist Church is what Kevin Norris talked about this morning, the principal at Chief Joe. We've been helping with the backpack ministry. We've been supplying the groceries. We've supplied the backpacks. We've done all that with them. And that's a wonderful and a great thing. That's in the name of Richland Baptist Church. We have done that. What if we started next week and said, in the name of Richland Baptist Church, we're going to pass out marijuana brownies to everybody at school? Would that be consistent with what Richland Baptist Church believes? No. At least not one. That wouldn't be right. That wouldn't be consistent with what we as a church believe. So that will not be done in the name of Richland Baptist Church. That should not be done in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So, something that's going to be in the same vein as what He would do, as what Jesus would say, yeah, that's good, go ahead. Yes, that's a good ministry, go ahead. Something that He would approve of, something that He would point to, that He would give His nod to, and say, yes, go ahead and do that. Whatever we do, and that covers a lot. I've heard an old preacher say that word all means all. All the things that we do, that we say, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do it that He would approve of that. That He would give us that affirmative nod. That we would go from there and do that. So do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. With all of this that we've been talking about, with putting on all these different characteristics of the new man, we can't do it on our own. It's kind of like another sermon that I've heard recently about Mission Impossible. We can't do that on our own. We don't have the wherewithal to walk rightly before God, where that everything that we do and say would be approved by Jesus, that every
action, everything that we do. I can't do that on my own. We have to have Him. And when He does help us to do something good, it's not because Scott's such a great guy. But it's because God is so good. It's because He's the one that enables us to do what's there. So in all that we do, the garment that we put on that covers over all of those things is the garment of love. And we have to have that garment of love, because without that, we're just a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And then as we sing and as we teach and admonish one another, and as we do all that we do, that we do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to Him. Important things that we need to constantly be reminded of, there's a lot of admonishment. Is that a word? Admonishment. There's a lot of admonishments as I read through those and think, yeah, Wells, you weren't very patient with those people, and you weren't very humble in that situation, and you didn't do that with very good compassion. You did it because you were supposed to, because that's your job. I mean, I'm paid to be good. Todd's good for nothing. But I'm paid to do stuff good. And there's sometimes that I do stuff because I'm supposed to do it, instead of because I'm compassionate. And shame on me for that. All of those things we can't do on our own. And we have to have God working inside of us. Lord, we ask You to help us. We recognize our weakness. And we recognize our need of You. And I pray, Father, that You would help us to walk in You. That You would fill us anew with Your Holy Spirit. And that You would truly help us, that all that we do or say would be done in Your name, would be done in a way that You would approve, that You would give us that affirmative nod. Father, guide us and help us. Help us to watch. Help us to seek You, to put on the things that You want us to put on, to sing what You want us to sing, to teach and admonish one another with wisdom. Help us to be what You want us to be and to give thanks to You. And we pray all this in Jesus' name.